Good morning. Today's daf and sota mem beis. We are going to be starting this morning right in the middle of mem aleph amud beis. I want to thank the Masuth family of West Orange, New Jersey for sponsorship of the entire masechta. Learning that we do is lezecher nishmas Nechemia ben Avraham. We are starting with the words darash Rav Yehuda bar Marav Avitam Rav Shimon ben Pazi, and we're talking about chanifa. One is not allowed to extend flattery to somebody who does not deserve it. Flattering somebody who does not deserve it, specifically that of a rasha. So that's a very bad thing. Now, I know in a Gemara Shir, especially in a Halacha Shir, but in a Gemara Shir, what does that mean? It's a very bad thing. It's an Isser. The Torah prohibits it. What exactly is the Isser of Chanifa? Okay, so at this point in time, I'm just telling you, I also spent a little bit of time trying to wrap my head around exactly what the Isser is. Suffice to say, it's wrong, meaning we're going to be hearing Gemaras today that are going to be speaking in the clearest of terms. That it's a bad thing. And the Gemara is going to be speaking about the ills of Chanifa. But then when you just, you know, try to put a microscope to it and figure out exactly what it is, meaning what is the Isser, so it could be associated and attached to a number of different Isserim. A bit of Tochacha, that you're not giving the proper rebuke to somebody who needs to be rebuked. You could be Messiah of Rehavera, you're aiding and abetting somebody in terms of the way that he's living. Okay, Vechule, Vechule, and there are other ways to say it over. But meanwhile, however, we could say, because the Gemara is going to say it very clearly, it's bad. So, Darash Rav Yehuda bar Marav, are going to be hearing this in so many different ways. So one is allowed to be machnif, to flatter a Rasha in this world. And how do I know that? So the Gemara is going to be citing a couple of psukim that would indicate this. Number one, a pasuk in Yeshayahu lo yikare od lanavel nediv lechilei lo ye amer shoa. In the future, so somebody who's a Naval, all right? Naval is somebody who is, Naval happens to be the name of a personality in Tanakh, but that's not what the pasuk over here means. It means somebody who is not somebody who you normally would compliment. So so in the future, he will not be complimented. The diuk is michlal de ba'olam hazeh shari. In this world, you're allowed to be machnif, you're allowed to flatter a rasha. And Rabbi Shimon Malakish Amar Mehacha, he has another pasuk that would indicate that, and that's keros p'nei Elokim v'tirtzeini. Let's take a look at the exchange between Yaakov and Esav when they get together after years of separation, and Esav has been harboring some grudge against Yaakov. So they get together and Keros Pnei Elokim v'tirtzeini. Yaakov says to Esav, "Seeing your face is like seeing that of a malach," and that was chanifa. In other words, that was flattery, and Esav was a rasha. And Reish Lakish says, "Conclusion: you're allowed to do it." So we'll plead to Rabbi Levi. Now Rabbi Levi says, no, I don't agree with your conclusion. I'm looking at the same story, and I don't agree. So according to Rabbi Levi, it goes like this, right? You're by somebody, and you are scared. You know that he wants to kill you. So you make a mention. You're like, hey, this food that I'm eating over here tastes just like the food I ate by the king. And basically what you're doing is you're name dropping. Okay. What you and I would call name dropping. So you're name dropping. I know the king basically. And the other person says, oh no, you know the king? He's like, yeah, sure. I'm there all the time. In other words, I eat there all the time. Good, good. And that's what Yaakov is saying to Esav, right? Seeing you is like seeing a malach. To which, according to Rabbi Levi, so Esav gets the hint. Oh, you know Malachim? Yeah. I know Malachim.
Another way to look at it was that he's not really, he's just describing the way he looks. Doesn't mean that he's a Malach just because he looks like one.
Okay.
Right. Number two is that they're twins, so he looked like himself.
Right. Okay, good. Okay, fine. So anyway, the Gemara just brought down two different ways of looking at the exchange and understanding the exchange. So for, you know, the Gemara, if it's open for debate, we know it's open for debate. The Gemara just debated the very point. Okay. Amar Rabbi Elazar kol adam sheish bo chanufa meviaf. So anybody who is engaged in flattery, so he's going to bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger. So la'olam shenemer v'chanfi lev yasimo af the pasuk in Iyo. V'lo od, ela she'in tfilaso nishmas. So, and your pathways to Kadosh Baruch Hu in terms of your tefillas are going to be blocked. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to listen. Shenemer lo yishavu ki asaram. So the and again more of the pasuk in Iyov describing how Kadosh Baruch Hu will not listen. Simon, the Gemara now is going to be giving us simanim, mnemonics to help us remember the next Gemara. It's from here until the end of the Perek. So we are going to be discussing more on the topic of Chanifa. I'm going to be reading the simanim, Afu Bar Gehenna Biado Nidagola. Okay, and now let's go through each one of them. So six in total. Number one. Amar Avalazar call Adam Sheshbo Chanufa Afilu Ubram Shame Me'iman Mekalalin Oso. You're engaged in flattery. So even the fetuses that are in their mother are going to curse you. Shnemar. Another pasuk here is a mishle. Omar l'rasha tzadikata yikavu amim yizamuhu li'umim ve'in kovel aklala. And we're dissecting the pasuk now. The word kov over there is a reference to cursing. Shenamar, this is by Bilam and Balak lo kavo el ve'in la'om el ubrim. The la'om is a reference to the ubrim. La'om la'om yamatz. A description of the fetuses that are inside of Rivka. Good. So anyway, so you take the words, you put them together, so even the Ubrim are going to curse. Somebody who engages in flattery, so he's going to go to Gehenim Shenamar. Hay omrim l'ratov l'atov ra. Pasuk in Yishayahu, ma'ksiv acharav, l'chein ke'chol kash l'shon ish, v'chashash le'aval yirpeh. Okay. Again, you'll forgive me, I'm not going to be translating the psukim so accurately, but the basic point is that you engage in the flattery, and then you are going to be going to Eish, in Makom Eish. Amar Abelazar kol amachnef lechaver sof nofel biyado. So you are engaging in flattery, so you're going to end up falling to him, the one you're flattering. V'yimei nofel biyado, nofel biyad banav, v'yimei no nofel biyad banav, nofel biyad ben beno. And if you're not going to fall to him, you'll fall to either his son or his grandson. In other words, but basically, you're trying to flatter somebody, he's going to end up capturing you. Shenemar. Now, over here, just a short backstory over here. There was a Navi Sheker during the time of Yirmiyahu. So his name happens to be Chananya ben Azor. Anyway, so Navi Sheker, so you know what you do when you're a Navi Sheker? So you give false prophecy, right? That's kind of goes with the territory of being a Navi Sheker. In other words, and basically what you want to do is, you know, you're going to give false prophecy, and you're going to tell the people what they want to hear. So at this point in time, the Jewish people are now sent into Galus, and he's telling everybody this false prophet, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring us back. Now, it's true, by the way. In other words, he's right. But at the time when he was saying it, so it wasn't a nevuah. He wasn't really prophesizing. He just was telling the people what they wanted. Vayomir Yirmiyahu. So we're just taking a short excerpt of this story. This is in the 28th parak of Yirmiyahu. Vayomir Yirmiyahu el Chananya. So Amen Ken Yaseh Hashem Yakeim Hashem Esavarecha. So Yirmiyahu says, look, I hope you're right. Okay, now. On one hand, totally understand his response, because the nevuah that was given by this Navi Sheker is positive, it's uplifting, it just happens not to be nevuah. Okay, so he says, I hope you're right. So, dichsiv, and uksiv, and it says, we're on the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, vayihi hu bishar binyamim, visham bal pikidus, ushmo yiriya ben shamaya ben chananya, so now the grandson of this Navi Sheker is somehow able to capture or facilitate it in the capturing of Yirmiyahu. Vayomer Yirmiyahu Sheker, einenu nofel ala kasdim, uksiv vayispos bi Yirmiyahu v'yaviu ala sarim. And Yirmiyahu was captured and he was taken into prison. So anyway, so because Yirmiyahu flattered this Navi Sheker, so therefore, he was captured, and he was captured via the grandson of this Navi Sheker. Okay, so it's a little bit of a walk, but to get to the point that Gemara made, and that is that if you flatter somebody, so he's going to end up being your undoing, either he or his son or his grandson. Amar Rebbe Lazar Kol Eda Sheish Bo Chanufa. So let's say the community is involved in flattery. So this is now community flattery. So the so Meusa Kanida, so it will be as disgusting as a Nida Shenemer Ki Adas Chanef Galmud. She came back Karchayam Karin Lanida Galmuda. So the Torah describes a woman who is a Nida as a Nida, meaning that's the word the Torah uses. But in Karchayam, right, you're going out to the islands, right, the Mediterranean islands. So you're going to hear the word Galmuda, and it's a synonym. My Galmuda, so Gemula Mi Bala. She is Gemula over here. Gemula in this context means that she is separated. She's divided from her husband. Okay. In other words, Anita. So, and the Gemara now is taking that translation and inserting it into that pasuk in Iyov, meaning that the person who is involved, the community, Adas Kanef, the community that's involved in flattery is like an Ida. A community that's involved in flattery, that community is going to be sent into exile. Ksiv hacha ki adas chanaf gamur, uksiv hasa v'amarta b'vavech, mi alili es eile v'anish gula v'gamuda, gula v'sura. Pasuk here in Yeshayahu, and basically the idea is that if you're involved in Hanifa, the community is involved in Hanifa, so then you will have the community going into exile. Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Arba, Arba kisos in mekablos p'nei Ashkina. Four groups of people that are simply not going to have kabbalas p'nei Ashkina. Again, there are going to be barriers between them and Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and that's katzleitzim, a group of people who are just simply mocking and deriding, making fun of things. Kaz chanifim, a group of people who are involved in flattery. Kash karim, those a group of people who are just constantly lying. And kaz masapri lashon hara, and those that are involved in lashon hara. So katzleitzim, and now the Gemara is just going to simply quote psukim that support all these people, that there are going to be barriers between them and Hashem. Kasleitzim dechsev the pasuk in Hoshea Mashach Chedos lotzitzim. Kadosh Baruch Hu withdraws, retracts from those people who are mockers, scoffers. Kas chanefim dechsev ki lo lefanav chanef yavo. Again, the same idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to go into that kind of community of flattery. Kashkarim dechsev, those the community that lies. Dovishkarim lo yikon leneged einai. Again, they're not going to be near me. And finally, Kasmas Apri Lashon Hara, Dechsiv Ki Lo El Chafetz Rasha Ata Lo Yagur Chara. Tzadik Ata Hashem Lo Yagur B'Megur Chara. Anyone who's involved in Ra over here in this context is Mesaper Lashon Hara. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be part of that community. Okay. Hadron Alach Elu Ne'emarin. That is the end of the seventh parak of the Masechta. Seven down, two more to go. We're starting now the eighth parak, and we know we're on a tangent, all right, as I already discussed, on Daf Lamed Beis of our Masechta. So what we did is we made the big jump, right, from Dapim Beis through Lamed Beis, so we talked about Sota, which is the title of the Masechta. It makes perfect sense. But then from Daf Lamed Beis until the end of the Masechta, a little bit less than 1 week from today, so we're going to go off-road. We're going to go on topics that are not normally discussed throughout Shas, And how did it come up over here? In other words, what was the launching point? So it was because there are certain things that have to be said b'lashon kosher, and there are certain things that can be said b'chol lashon. And the Mishnah already back at the beginning of the seventh perek, so went through a list of those things that can be said b'chol lashon, and those things that can only be said b'lashon kodesh. So over here now, we're going over the list of those things that can only be said b'lashon kodesh, and so it happens to be that one of them is the Meshuch Mechama. The chief chaplain of the Israeli army, so he now is an appointed position. Now, I say appointed position, so talk about another point of research. Who exactly is he appointed, and how exactly is he appointed? So neither of those questions can be answered with absolute certainty. It's a machlokus. We went through bits and pieces of this machlokus over here. Some are of the opinion that the only way he could be appointed is only with the Shemana Mishcha. He is called, right, this happens to be a good point, but rather unbelievably, it's not agreed to by everybody. He's called the Meshuach Melchama. Meshuach generally means that he was anointed with oil, the Shemana Mishcha, right? The Kohen Gadol is anointed with the Shemana Mishcha. Although, to be fair, the Kohen Gadol is anointed with the Shemana Mishcha only when there is Shemana Mishcha. Right? As we all know, there came a point historically where there was no longer any Shemana Mishcha, and yet there was still something called a Kohen Gadol. Okay, so a Kohen Gadol can be appointed by Shemana Mishcha, but doesn't need it. Is the same thing going to be true with the Meshuch Mechama? That's a good question. I'm going to leave it open-ended. Okay, who's appointing him? In other words, the appointment is coming from what? The king, the Kohen Gadol? Who's appointing him? Once again, I'll open the question, but I'm not going to close on that question. It's not perfectly clear. Okay, but we know there's a position. It's called the Meshuach Mechama. So we're introduced to him in Parsha Shoftim, and as the chaplain of the army, so obviously he is now going to be a leadership position for the army. Now, what are his jobs? So the Torah is actually very clear in terms of what does he do. So he talks to the army while they're en route to going to war. He's going to be giving out exemptions in terms of who gets a patur, who's going to be relieved from having to be involved in active warfare, right? He's going to do encouragement once they get to the front line. So those are his basic tasks as being the Meshuach Nechama. Does he have other responsibilities? I imagine the answer is yes, but obviously in the course of today's daf, we're only going to be focusing on those responsibilities. Meshuach Nechama, so here we begin the Mishnah. So, B'shash Medaber La'am, B'lashna Kodesh, so, I'm sorry, B'lashna Kodesh, Yeh Medaber, Shenem Raviyah Kekar V'chem Al Melchama V'nigash HaKohen. So, Zeh Kohen Meshuach Nechama V'diber La'am B'lashna Kodesh. Okay, so the Torah, when giving this description of as you're going to battle, so the Kohen is coming. So when we say the Kohen, we're talking about Meshuach Nechama. And when the pasuk says v'diber, so that's going to be Balashna Kodesh. How do we know that? Meaning the word v'diber always means Balashna Kodesh. Stay tuned. We're going to get a little more clarity on the issue in just a moment. V'amar aleim Shema Yisrael. Now, as long as we're here, so now it affords the opportunity for tangent. So here we are. We're in a Mishnah, by the way, but we're still going to go on a tangent now. And that is that we're going to be now discussing Meshuach Nechama in more detail. So v'amar aleim Shema Yisrael. So al oyvechem. The Gemara is not quoting the whole pasuk. We are just taking an excerpt of the pasuk. V'lo al achechem. So in other words, who do we go to battle with? Our enemies. In other words, there should be no infighting. This is part of the coded messaging, and it might not be so coded. Meaning the Meshuach Nechama may be spelling this out, but we're reading this into the pasuk. Go to war against enemies, not infighting. V'lo al achechem. Lo Yehuda al Shimon, v'lo Shimon al Binyamin. In other words, there should be no tribal battles, intertribal battles. So, im tiflu biyadam yirachmu alechem kama shenemar. She'im tiflu biyadam. So the yirachmu alechem kama shenemar. So this is now going to a battle that takes place between Achaz, the king of Yehuda, and Pekach ben Remaliah, who is the king of Yisrael. Okay, and again, without going through the entire pasuk inside, the basic idea is that when you're fighting against a brother, tribe against tribe. In this case over here, it was north against the south, south against the north, right? The original civil war, if you will. So when you're captured, so they're going to be kind to you. That's if you were fighting amongst brothers, which again, starting point is you shouldn't, but if you do, so at least they'll have rachmanus. So alay vechem atem hochem shim tiplo biyadam in merachmem aleichem. However, the Kohen, the Meshuach Machamas tells the army, but that's not going to be the case over here. We're going to go fight against our enemies. And if anyone's captured, so there will be no rachmanis. And so the Gemara now is going to be darshaning phrases of the pasuk. So when the pasuk says, don't be afraid, specifically that's of Haramas Kol. In other words, there's going to be a lot of generated noise. That's the tzahalasusim. And that's the tzichzuch haravos, the swords clanging against one another. Okay, so one of the ancient, and not even so ancient, strategies of warfare is to basically manufacture a lot of noise, to intimidate. And al tiru mimnei agafas trisim. They would do the same thing with the shields. They would bang the shields. And don't be afraid of that. And shif'as hagal kasim. Okay, and that basically a lot of soldiers. And al tachbazu, the pasuk says, don't be afraid. So again, you understand what the Mishnah is doing over here. A lot of these terms seem to be synonymous one with the other. And so what the Mishnah is doing is it's darshaning and telling us the various fears that you could be afraid of and don't be afraid. So that's al tachbazu kol kranos. They're going to be blowing on horns. Again, same basic idea, generating a lot of sound. Don't be afraid. Al tartsu mimne kol tzvachos. So the, and again, more sound that's going to be generated by the enemy. Don't be afraid of it. So they're going to be coming in, but they're coming in just with the soldiers. You, on the other hand, you're going to be going in backed by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the the Mishnah gives examples. Plishtim ba'u b'nitzchon shogalias. So as far as the Plishtim are concerned, so they came in, and they came in with a giant, Galias. Maya sofa l'sof nafal b'cherev. V'nafalu imo. And he was chopped down with the sword. We're going to go through a lot of the episode of Galias over the course of today's daf, tomorrow's daf. And the Plishtim fell as well. And another cited example, historical example. B'nei Amon ba'u. This is now with David as the king. Right, Galias obviously is David before he was the king. But now this is his David being the king. Now he came with, they came with a general by the name of Shovach. He too also fell by the sword. And the Ammonim fell with him as well. So in other words, so don't rely on Basar Adam. In other words, they were reliant on Basar Adam and they all fell. You should not be reliant on Basar Adam. Well, who should be reliant on? Last line of the Mishnah. And so Akash Baruch is going to go to battle with you, and the way that we're going to be able to see it is that the Aaron is going to go into battle with us. I'll just mention it now. Obviously, it's an important topic, but in other words, obviously, we're talking about going out to war, right? A lot of Parsha Shoftim is a description of going out to war. Parsha Shoftim taking us right to the beginning of Parsha's Kiseitse, where in the beginning of Parsha's Kiseitse, you have the heter my brain just froze. You saw buffering. So the shivya.
I call that a senior moment.
It's okay. It happens. So in Parsha Shoftim, we talk about going to war. There are two types of battles. There are two types of war. There's Mechemes Mitzvah and there's Mechemes Rishos. Mechemes Mitzvah is anytime that you are, there really are three subcategories of Mechemes Mitzvah. I'll tell you what. Let's, it's an important discussion. It's an important topic in terms of understanding when the battle is necessary versus where it is an optional battle. It's not optional, meaning the king tells you to go to battle, you go to battle. But in other words, it's for the purposes of annexation, not for the purposes of defending either the Jewish people or the land of Israel. Okay. Anyway, there are two types of mechama. Therefore, demands to know that when we're describing over here this particular mechama, are we talking about mechamas mitzvah? Are we talking about mechamas rishus? Okay. Again, I'm sorry, we're going to go through this a little too quickly, but just to understand the two different types of mechama. So my comma, the Gemara says, okay, now, when the Kohen Gadol speaking, sorry, when the Meshoch Mechama is speaking to the army, so he has to speak Balashna Kodesh. My Kamar, and the Mishnah says, I'm telling you why, because it says Vidiber. And the Gemara's first question, it's an easy question, is okay, it says Vidiber. That's fantastic. It says Diber a lot of times in Chumash. And just because it says the words Diber, that means necessarily it's Balashna Kodesh. So Hachi Kamar, Shenemar Vidiber, Lahala Nomer, Moshe Yedaber, Velokim Yanen Bekol. So malahalam b'loshon hakodesh, avkam b'loshon hakodesh. Okay, so gzeira shava. Okay, and you can see more on this. We're not going to go through it together, but I'm just going to be mitzayin. I'll tell you where to look, and that is that the second Tosos here on the Amud, he quotes a Yerushalmi. Yeah, so he quotes a Yerushalmi over here. In other words, the Yerushalmi has a preferred gzeira shava. Anyway, we continue.
If people required a metagman for reading the Torah to understand what's going on, did they need a metagman for
okay.
the Shema Mechama?
Okay, fine. Ben read my mind. I also was thinking about this yesterday a lot. And that is that, you know, certain things need to be understood, right? In other words, part of the reason why we got into this discussion to begin with, going all the way back to Daf Lamed Beis, is because the Sota has to understand, she needs to understand, like, what's about to happen. You're going to drink the water and you may end up exploding. Okay, and she has to understand that, and so therefore, by the sota, it was said b'chol lashon, and understandably, in other words, if you're reading chumash and psukim, and she doesn't understand what you're talking about, and say, right, to say it simply, right, it's not fair. Zelo fair. So she has to understand. And over here, in other words, if the Kohen Gadol, again, I made a mistake. If the Meshuch Machama is now prepping the army and encouraging the army, like, don't they need to understand? Okay, good.
But, yeah, I've had exposure to this in their shul, you know, like a few times.
Okay, I'm sharing with Ben, by the way, that the two Bens right now are aligned. We're in alignment. I was thinking his question. I was thinking about yesterday, meaning the people need to understand what he's talking about, and if the insistence over here, which it is that he has to say B'lashon HaKodesh. Not everyone spoke Hebrew. I know that sounds funny, but it's probably true. Okay. Anyway, good. I didn't see anyone respond. But I didn't research it thoroughly. So okay, Tana Rabbanan. V'nigash akon v'diber la'am yachol kol kohen sheyirtze tamalamar v'dibru ashotrim b'memuna af kohen b'memuna. It has to be an appointed kohen. Again, we already know the conclusion. We know it's the Meshuch Machama, but the Gemara now is darshaning. So v'eima kohen gadol. So the Gemara says okay. So an appointed position. Okay, I know an appointed Kohen. It's called the Kohen Gadol. Maybe the Kohen Gadol is the one that has to speak to him. So Dumya de Shoter, Ma Shoter Sheish Mamun Al Gabav, Av Kohen Sheish Mamun Al Gabav. The Gemara says no. In other words, it has to be an appointed position who has somebody above him. Meaning, we know that that's true by the Shoter. The Shoter has a Dayan appointed above him. Shoter is like what you and I would call a police officer. All right, law enforcement. Okay. So in other words, and the Dayan is the law, and the Shoter is the enforcement. So too over here. In other words, it has to be a Kohen appointed where he has a Kohen above him. Oh, okay, fine. So that's the Meshuch Mechama. Hopefully everyone's wondering and thinking about the Gemara's next point. So Kohen Gadol Naimi Kam Melech Gabav. So the Gemara says, okay, but what do you mean? In other words, the Kohen Gadol, the king's above the Kohen Gadol. So Bavavdosa Kamar. The Gemara says, yeah, I understand. But in other words, we have the king who is, let's call that the monarchy. And we have the Kohen that's involved in the Avoda, in temple service. Two different categories. So in other words, in Avoda, so top on the list, of course, is Kohen Gadol. And so therefore, we're looking for an appointed position below that. It's called the Meshuch Mechama. So the Ema Skan. So, okay, good. Next question. There's something called the Skan Kohen Gadol. We know about it. We talk about him all the time, right? The vice Kohen Gadol, that his only job is that in the event that something happens to the Kohen Gadol, so there he is. He's now going to be the stand-in. So the Gemara is going to say something so interesting. Skan lav memunahu. That's not an appointed position. D'tanya amar Rabbi Chanina skan kohanim. Okay, look over here how interesting this is. Who's teaching us this? Happens to be a skan kohen is teaching us. So lama skan memunah shimira b'psuba Kohen Gadol nichnas mishamish tachtav. He's just simply there in case of, right? In case of emergency, so there's your guy. So in other words, but it's not an appointed position. Again, over here, I'm just going to point you in the right direction. Take a look at the last Tosfos here on the Amud, who is really bothered by this idea that the Gemara over here is very clear about. The Skan Kohen Gadol is not an appointed position, and he has nothing intrinsically important about him. Now, keep in mind, I say, right, everyone's important. Everyone's got a tafka and a task in life. But in other words, this vis-a-vis kahuna, there's nothing special about him outside of the fact that, of course, he's a Kohen. That's what our Gemara said. And Tosu says, I'll show you a number of places in the Gemara where the skan does have significance. And Tosu is really bothered by our Gemara over here. Okay. Amar Lem Shema Yisrael. Okay, so now we're continuing. And we're going to go through the Mishnah. We're going to go through parts of the Mishnah that are going to be detailing exactly what the Meshuch Mechama is doing. Good. So, Mishnah. Shema Yisrael. So over here, as far as the speech is concerned, the Meshuch Mechama is not giving a speech, meaning he is, but in other words, he's not writing it. In other words, the Torah is giving him the psukim in which to say. So the first thing that he says is Shema Yisrael, and the Gemara wants to know, why? Why start with Shema Yisrael? I'm Rav Yochanan ben Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Okay, I know yesterday, you know, we spent a lot of time highlighting the Rashbi, and as we should, and so so over here, we're a day later, and once again, we get to highlight the Rashbi. So, Amar Lema Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Afilu L'Kiyamtem El Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis, Iyaten Nimsarim B'Yadam. Right, if all you have under your belt is the mitzvahs of Shema of the morning and the evening, So you're not going to be given over to the enemies. Okay. Fine. Let's leave it like that. Let's go. Al yirech levavchem al tiru tan rabban pa'amayim medaber imam. There are going to be two times when the Meshuch Macham is going to be speaking to the army. So achas bisfar. The word over here is safar. Safar over here means right by the border. Right? As we're leaving Eretz Yisrael and we're going over to, into enemy border. So right there. So that is where we're going to have the first talk between the Meshuch Macham and the army. And achas b'mochama. And then again at the front line. Bisfar ma'omer. Now what's going to be said at the sfar? As we're crossing the border. We're on the top of the Amud base. Shimu devrei marchem melchama. So, v'chizru. V'chizru. So, basically what it's going to be handing out are the exemptions. Okay, so in other words, everyone, there's conscription and everyone's going to be going out to battle and so over here he's going to be handing out exemptions there at the border. And b'mochama mahuamer, now once we're at the front line of battle, so then the psukim of al yirech levavchem al tiru al tachpazu al tarzu, as we already saw back in the Mishnah. Keneged arba dvarim sha'ovdei kochovim osim, megifan marin, tzavchen veromsim. And again, we go back to the Mishnah, all that manufactured sound produced by the enemy. So that's what the Meshuch Macham is doing. He's basically saying you're going to be hearing a lot of sound being produced over there. Don't be afraid. Okay. Plishtim ba'u benitzchun shogalias. And from here into the remainder of the daf, so we're going to be treated to a lot of agadata. Because we learned in the Mishnah that the Meshuch Macham are going to be citing historical examples. Meaning that the enemies are relying on people. Don't rely on people. Rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Plishim Ba'u B'Nitzchanu Shel Galias. So one of the examples, there are two historical examples that were given back in the Mishnah. The first one is Galias. So, Galias, Amar Rav Yochanan. And here we begin. Right? Mem Beis, Amud Beis here in Sota. And for the rest of today, we're going to be darshaning. So, Amar Rav Yochanan, Asha'amad B'Gilui Panim, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Galias was a mechutzaf. He was really, he was arrogant, and he showed a lot of insolence. Directly towards the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar Brulachem Ish V'Yered Alai. Now, here we're going to be citing from the Pesukim in Shmuel. We are in Shmuel Aleph. This is the 17th Perek, in which Galias says, you know what, choose an ish. Now, the simple pshat in the pasuk is, choose a man, and I'll fight him. So, v'ein ish ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Gemara here darshans. The word ish is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenemar Hashem, ish melchama. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hareini ma'pil al yad ben ish. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he wants to fight me, I'm going to give him a ben ish to fight. And he's going to fall to the ben ish. Shenemar v'david ben ish efrasi hazeh. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir B'Shoshim Mekamos L'Chado Piv La'Oso Rasha. So, right, you have to be careful about what you say. What you say is going to just simply trap you. Three times we're going to point it out by Galias. Echaz Brulachem Ish V'Yered Alai. So the first one we just went through, right? In other words, go find an Ish. And again, it was his chutzpah directed towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which ends up ensnaring him. That's one. V'Idach. So, Im Yuchali Lachem Iti V'Hikani. So no one's going to be able to hit me, and again, somebody did, David, and the idach, and the third time the kamar lay le David, hakelav anochi ki ata ba elai bemaklos, right? Am I like a dog that you're going to come at me with a stick? So David nami amar lay ata ba elai becherav vechanisa vekidon. So and David was also trying to tell Galias. That, in other words, you have to be careful about what you say, right? You're coming at me with a sword and with a spear. Kidon, some sort of other weapon. Okay. Hada amar lei v'anochi ba'alech b'shem Hashem tzvakos alekei marachos Yisrael asher chirafta. And I'm coming at you with Hashem. And you're mecharif. In other words, and you blasphemed against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what I'm coming at you with. V'yigasha plishti hashkim v'harev. Okay, so here we are now in, again, the 17th parak of Shmuel Aleph. And so he was taunting the Jewish people morning and night. Amar Rav Yochanan, another drasha, also by Rabbi Yochanan. And that's Kedil Avat Lamikriya Shema Shachris Varvis. Now, the reason why he came both morning and night is because he wanted to be Mevatel, he wanted the army not to be able to say Shema. right? Just moments earlier in today's daf, we said that as long as we are saying Shema in the morning and the evening, we're not going to fall to our enemy. And the Gemara's understanding over here is that Gallius understood that, and so therefore he tried to impede the Jewish people from saying Shema. The Navi describes 40 days. Amar Rav Yochanan, third drasha by Rav Yochanan. Keneged arba'im yom shenatna bem Torah. And again, he understood that our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is via Torah, and he wanted to try to cut that connection. Vayetzei isha banim emachanos plishtim. And here comes, and here he comes out. Right? This is a, we're kind of jumping around, right? We've seen this before. In other words, when we're darshaning a particular perek and Navi, right here in Sota, we've been doing a lot of that. So, and I don't know why, but it's just, I'm just observing. This is not the first time. It's not sequential. We're not going chronologically in the Navi. So the drushas do get a little bit choppy in that we're just jumping around from place to place. This is the beginning of the 17th parak. This is Pasuk Dalet. Vayetze ish habeinim mimachanos plishtim. So my beinim. I'm sorry, I'm not pronouncing it correctly. It's beinayim. Thank you. So Amarav Shemavuna Mikol Mum. So the Gemara gives a couple of drushas of this pasuk describing Galyas. He had absolutely no blemish. He was physically perfect. Shmuel Amar Beinoni Shebechiv. There were four brothers, and he was not the best of them. In fact, of the four brothers, he was average. Now to us, he's a giant. But in other words, amongst his brothers, average. So Debei Rabbi Shiel Amar Shuhu Asui Kibinyan. He was built like a building. And Rav Yochanan Amar Bar Mea Papi Bechada Nani. Okay, here we get to easily the most interesting part of today's daf. Easily. And that is that our fourth drasha of how to understand this pasuk, given to us by Rabbi Yochanan. And yeah, I'm highlighting, I'm emphasizing how many times Rabbi Yochanan over here is darshaning. So he was Bar Mea Papi Vechada Nani. So the way Rashi understands it as follows is that his mother slept with 100 men. Now, only one of them impregnated her because that's how these things work. But in other words, but she slept with 100. She slept with 100 men, right? Rashi says Ben Tarov Shabal Harbe Anashim Alimo Balayla Achas V'Nisabra Min Echad Nimsa Echad Aviv V'Kulan Menafim. Okay, one of them obviously is his father, and the other ones are just simply they slept with his mother. Okay. Tosus over here says something which is unbelievably interesting. He quotes a Yerushalmi. Okay. You're the Tosus over here, top Tosus. So the Yerushalmi beperka cholates. This is definitely going to be the most interesting thing you're going to hear today. We're all going to hear it today. So beperka cholates agmar v'chayvem hashem talui. So Achma Minasha Isha Mitaberz Vechoseris Mitaberz. So Achma Minasha Ina Isha Mitaberz Mishne Bnei Adam Kachetsu Pligi Al Rabbanan De Agadata. Okay, so according to the Yerushalmi, and you'll forgive me, I did not do a good job reading the Yerushalmi, but the Yerushalmi says only one man can impregnate a woman, and Tosfos points out not everyone's in agreement with that. So the Rabbanan De Agadata Omrim VeYetze Ish HaBeinayim MiMarchos Plishtim MiMea Arelos Plishtim. Okay, and not to go on in Tosfos, but please look inside, where Tosfos says that at least there is a school of thought that there could be multiple fathers who are going to be responsible for the fertilization of an egg. Okay. Can there be multiple fathers fertilizing an egg? So, you know, you ask anyone who studies modern science, they're going to tell you no. But meanwhile, there is a school of thought, and our Gemara, at least according to one interpretation, it's not Rashi. Rashi certainly does not interpret our Gemara this way, but there is some that interpret our Gemara that when Gallius is being described as a child of 100 fathers, so there is a school of thought that would say that yes. Okay, and I know that's interesting. And again, it's certainly not Rashi and Agamara, but there is a school of thought. We continue. Vegalia Shemo Migas, Tani Rav Yosef, Shakol Darshan Es Imo Kigas. Okay, so we're darshaning, and I know we just heard this, but now we're going to hear it again. And that is the he's from Gas. And according to Rav Yosef, that's a description of his mother. And his mother was with many men. Over here, the Gemara gives a graphic description of right? They were like their mother, like a gas. Gas is a wine press, and many were doing that to his mother. Ksiv mi maros vekarina me marchos. So tini Rav Yosef akol eru beimo. Okay, there are two words in the Torah describing. He's either from Ma'aros Plishtim or Ma'arkos Plishtim. And and Ma'aros is connected to the word Ha'ara. Ha'ara, which we just described earlier in the Masechta, very early in the Masechta. So that's basically a description of partial penetration. And that's how people were with his mother. Ksiv Harafa Uksiv Arpa. So we have two different ways of naming his mother. So in Shmuel Beis, it's described as Harafa, but in Rus, and I would say this is more popular, so the mother's name is Arpa, with an ayin, not with a hey. Rav Shmuel Chanamar, Harafa Shma, v'lamani kira Shma Arpa, shakol orfen osam me'achareha. One interpretation is that the actual name is Harafa, and Arpa because many people were with her, but Arpa looking at the back of her neck, in other words, they had Bia Shaloka Darka with her. Chanamar Arpa Shma Vlaminikur Shma Harafasha called Dashin Osa. Ki Harifos. The grains when they're pounded. So the Gemara over here again gives a graphic description of her name really is Arpa, but Harafa because many men were with her. Vichain Omar Vichain Huomer Vatikach. So the Gemara is calling the pasuk from Shmuel Beis. Anyway, the word over there that's used is harifos. Ibai seima mehacha im tichtosh es ha'avil b'machtesh b'soch harifos ba'ali. A pasuk in Mishlei also describing this idea of basically the comparison to just like the wheat is getting pounded, that was like with the mother. So esarbas ela yulade la harafas begas v'yiplu b'yad David uv'yad avadav. So the pasuk in Shmuel Beis describes that the four of them were born to Harafa in the town of Gas, and Mainiu, and the Gemara now identifies who they are. Amar Rav Chista, Saf Umadon, Galyas, V'Yishbi Benov. Okay, Rav Chista gives us identification of who these four brothers were. Vayiplu biyad David uviyad Avadav. Dichsiv Vatishak Arpa Lachamosav V'Rus Tavkaba. Amar Rav Yitzchak Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yavo Bnei Hanishuka. V'yipul biyad b'nei ha-devuka. Okay, the Gemara over here is taking us now back in time. In other words, we know that David is the progeny of Rus. And we know now that Galyas is the son. Now, it's not clear from our Gemara, is directly the son of, or a couple generations later, it sounds like from our Gemara, directly the son of Arpa. Okay. Which now would make Galyas significantly older than David and Melch, but fine, that's fine. So anyway, either way, And now we're looking at literally the turning point of Rus and Arpa, two daughter-in-laws to Naomi. We're all familiar. I'm assuming everyone here knows knows Rus. We read it annually, and it's for Prakim, and I assume we all know it. So anyway, so Rus and Arpa now are the daughter-in-laws. And I say daughter-in-laws, by the way. In other words, they weren't Jewish at the time. That's a simple pshat, but I'll call them daughter-in-laws because they were both married to the sons of Naomi. They both died. Naomi now is going back to Eretz Yisrael, and now they're both following her, and she dissuades them from joining her. And eventually she was successful in telling Arpa to go back home, but Ruth stayed. We all know. But in other words, the Gemara is just simply pointing to that's the significant point, meaning it's at that point in time where Arpa kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth dafkaba, and Ruth clung to her. So the Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yavo Bnei Hanishuka V'Yiplu Biyad Bnei HaDevuka. So the child, the son of the Neshuka, is now going to be falling to the child of the Devuka. That's obviously a reference to Rus. Darush Rava Bischar Bar Demar Sharida Arpa Al Chamosa Zachs of Yatzamimenu Arba Giborim. Now Arpa did cry, and she's rewarded for that, and she was given four giants. So in addition to the first crying, there is two cryings. And so, and she cried twice and two times over. That's four in total. Ksiv, chetz chaniso, Vikarinan eitz chanisel. So we have a kriyin ksiv. And now we're back in, Shmuel Aleph. Now we're in Perek Zayin again. And now we're going back to the Pesukim of David and Galias. And over here, this is Pasuk Zayin. So the Pasuk is written chet, and it's read eight. Amar Belazar, Adain lo yigin lechatzi shivcha shalosa rasha. So the truth of the matter is that when it says chet, it's because chatzi. We're describing Galias. We're not even describing half of his greatness. Now I'm using the word greatness over here with air quotes. Okay. But still, in other words, whatever we're describing him as, he was even greater than that. So Mikansha also Lasaper, Bishivchan Shovershaim. So in other words, he's a Rasha, and we should not be delving too much on his greatness. Veloliftach beklal. So the Gemara says, okay, so I got this idea, and that is how about we don't give him any Shevach whatsoever? So the Gemara says, no, lo, dear Shivcha de David. The Gemara says, no, that's no. Because David conquers him, and we need to understand, like in other words, Akash Baruch Hu is with David, so much so that David is able to conquer this giant, we at least have to begin to understand how much of a giant he was. Meaning the truth of the matter is we don't even know how much of a giant he was. But at least we have to begin to understand so that we can be duly impressed with how much it was how much David was was an underdog in this fight. B'nei Amram b'au b'nitzchon shel shovach. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking. Yeah, right. time to pause. Okay, this is good. Okay, and we'll start. We'll start with Bnei Amon tomorrow. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end. So, again, quick recap. We finished today's seventh parak of Sota, and we went through the Gemaras of Chanufa. Right, six memras that we went through at the beginning of today's daf. Truth of the matter is, we even started earlier than that. But six memras that we went over with in terms of how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not appreciate and enjoy when we are going to be giving to flattery to somebody who does not deserve it. He's a Russian, we're flattering him, and that's a really bad thing. Okay, so the Gemara spends precious real estate of Shas going over how much it's a bad thing and how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu really does not appreciate it, both on the individual level and on the communal level as well. Okay, that's number one. Number two, we started today the eighth parak of the Masech to Meshuch Mechama. Right, the chaplain, but not just the chaplain, but the chief chaplain of the Israeli army, who is tasked with the job of giving out exemptions and encouraging the army as they're going into battle. And so over here, why are we talking about him? It's great that we're talking about him, but why? Because Lashon HaKodesh, because when he's speaking to the people, he's got to speak to them in Lashon HaKodesh. It's one of the times where the Amira has to be done in the original. He's got to be reading the Pesukim. And while we were there, so we get to hear now in the Mishnah, meaning we didn't even get to the Gemara, but in the Mishnah we went through exactly what he's saying, and we're darshaning the Pesukim, and we're telling, look, there's going to be a plenty to be scared of. Don't be scared, right? And also he's handing out the exemptions, which we really didn't delve into yet. Okay, as far as the Gemara is concerned, so we went through the drashas of how do we know it's Lashon HaKodesh? Okay, it's a Gzeira Shava. That's the short answer. How do we know it's a Meshuch Mechama? In other words, because it has to be an appointed position. And by the Kohanim, there is no other appointed position that's under somebody else. Meaning, what do you have? You have the Kohen Gadol, and you have the Meshuch Mechama. What about the Skan? We got to hear something amazing today. Our Gemara tells us in today's daf, Skan's not an appointed position. In other words, he's standing in there, he's in the bullpen. In other words, and he may be called up. But in other words, but it's not an appointed position. Really an amazing statement of the Gemara today.
Who designates him?
Right. 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 I also asked the question about the Meshuch Mechama. Who appoints him as well? That part's not clear. Okay. Two times that the Meshuch Mechama is going to be speaking to the army. And that got us to turn the page from the Amud Aleph to the Amud Beis. Once he's going to be speaking at the border, as we're leaving Eretz Yisrael. So now he's going to be speaking and he's going to be handing out the exemptions of who can go back home. And then at the front line, so he's going to be speaking again there, and there words of encouragement.
Is the Meshuch Mechama is anointed with the same oil that the Kohen Gadol?
Yeah. So I touched on your question earlier this morning, and the simple answer is yes. But again, I'm just telling you this. I researched. It's not everyone's in agreement. Okay, and finally our Our last discussion for today is Galyas. In other words, one of the examples in the Mishnah where don't be afraid, right? Remember that card. It was David against Galyas. David, right, small Jewish kid, and Galyas, right, big Plishti giant, right? Remember that, and remember that fight, and remember how it ended, and the Plishti was the Plishtim were relying on man, and we're relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and. So in today's daf, so not only do we remember, but we went into detail, lots of details. Why did we go into detail? Right, uncomfortable details regarding Galyas, his mother. The Gemara regaled us this morning with stories of his mother, not very very unflattering stories of the mother. Okay, we got to hear that. But again, the point of all this, as we just concluded, is that look, or in other words, why we spent so much time going over how much of a giant Galyas was. Because we want to see exactly how much Hashkacha David had in defeating Galyas.